Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the first epistle of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who has overcome the world and conquered all of his enemies by his resurrection from the dead, dear fellow redeemed. What better words could be chosen to be laid upon our hearts on this confirmation morning, both on your heart, our dear and confirmant Jonathan, as well as the hearts of all of us, your parents, grandparents, relatives and friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. Our sermon text this morning specifically comforts us Christians with the proof that we are members of God's family. And as such, we have overcome the world through faith and a resurrected Savior. Our theme this morning is this: children born of God, not physically born, but spiritually born of God, are victorious in battle. First point, you, Jonathan, and we believe in the one who came by water and blood. We read again verses 1 and 6 in our sermon text. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. The first main point of our sermon this morning is that the God the Father is the source and the cause of our redemption, salvation, and being brought to faith. Membership in God's family is not because we're good people or because we made a decision for Christ. Faith in this new birth, being brought to faith in Jesus, occurs in the same moment that our Heavenly Father brings us into this family through the Holy Spirit working through the gospel on our hearts. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us that. Remember when Jesus asked his disciples who he was? And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." How did Jesus respond? Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." In Paul's epistles, we read, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And you, being dead in your trespasses, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him." The next two passages are one that Jonathan recited this morning. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Even as we did not have the power to conceive ourselves and to be born, so also we don't have the power to convert ourselves and to be brought to the spiritual life. This the Holy Spirit does through the gospel, the means of grace. And once we've been brought to faith in Jesus Christ, John then says that we are part of God's family, we're born of God, and we love God, and we love those who are begotten of God, which are his children. Again, John writes, "Everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him." In other words, if you love the Father who begot, that is to spiritually give us life, then you love all those whom he spiritually gave life to, and that is brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We heard last week that that love that God has for us and we're to have for each other, that's agape love. The highest form of love there is. The love that God has for us, the unlovable. It is unconditional. It is selfless. It is total love. In the last verse of our text, in verse 6, John tells us that this is Jesus who came by water and by blood. What in the world does that mean? Well, water and blood represent the two very important things that Jesus did in his life. By water, his baptism. He was baptized by John in the Jordan River, and God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He began his ministry there at his baptism. Holy Spirit came down upon him, rested on him, and filled him with every spiritual blessing. And of course, blood. Jesus shed his blood upon the cross to fulfill his ministry so that God the Father accepted his sacrifice, his son's sacrifice, for the payment of the sins of every single person ever conceived in the history of this world. Jesus came as the Christ, the Messiah, by water and blood. Through his baptism, he was declared to be the Savior and began his ministry. And through his blood, shedding his blood on the cross, he fulfilled his ministry and his calling as a Savior. This is proof of our salvation. Jesus' life and Jesus' death. His call into his office and his fulfillment of his office. And then John adds, these are historical facts because the Spirit testifies to this. And the Spirit is truth. Our theme again, children born of God are victorious in battle. Second point, you, Jonathan, and we faithfully obey God's commands. We read verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Faith proves itself not like Jonathan did this morning, just saying things. It proves itself in our actions. In our actions of love toward God, in our actions toward one another. How then do we show love? John says, when we love God and keep his commandments. John is saying that to love God is proof of brotherly love, and that brotherly love shows itself in our keeping God's commandments. Last week in our sermon on 1 John 3, we were told, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. The essence of love for God is this. In thanksgiving for all that Christ has done, we are moved to find our greatest delight in fulfilling his commandments, living according to God's word, sharing and doing and giving to others as Jesus shared and gave and did for us. We recognize true Christian love by the actions of one another in their obedience to God's word and by our love that we show toward one another. And Jesus says, that's not burdensome. That's not a list of you must do's and have to's. That's a joy. Saying, I'd be glad to. I want to. Through Christ's love, and the redemption he earned for us, we'll be filled with his love to want to serve one another, to willingly obey God's word. Can we do that perfectly? No. But that's why Jesus fills our hearts and says, you've forgiven. Your sins are washed away. Out of thankfulness and love to me, serve one another. Those of the world look upon God's commandments and God's will as being burdensome, taking all the joy and happiness and fun out of life. But the child of God, who knows that the commands of God are not a burdensome, they are indeed a light thing. The Lord says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. True joy and happiness in life for a Christian is serving. True joy and happiness in life for a Christian is serving. It's showing his love for God. We show our love for God by showing our love for each other, keeping his commandments. So the progression so far in our sermon text is this. Everyone who believes in Jesus as Lord and Savior is born of God. If you are born of God, you'll love your brothers and sisters in Christ, the children of God. How do we love the children of God? By being moved by the Spirit to love God. And how do we love God? By willingly obeying his commandments, showing our faith in action. Does that describe you? My theme again. Children born of God are victorious in battle. Third point. You, Jonathan, and we overcome the world not by our works, but by faith in Jesus. We read verses 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Whoever is born of God has Jesus living in our hearts. And Jesus living in our hearts, working in us, is stronger and more powerful than Satan is working in this world. In fact, John writes in chapter 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, the world, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. It is Christ and his word that is your strength. It is our strength. In the same epistle, John writes in chapter 2:14, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Our actions in Christ are inseparably joined together with our faith in Christ. Faith and actions coexist together. If there is no action, then there is no faith. Again, we heard last week, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Jesus said, I love you, and then he went back to heaven and didn't die and did no actions. There'd be no love there. He showed his love by laying down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Only those who did what you did this morning, Jonathan, confess with their heart, their lips, and their lives, that Jesus defeated sin, death, Satan, and this world, are declared victors over the world. Whether our faith is weak or strong, that's not the point. The point is, who's your Savior? Who's the one you trust in? It's Jesus. Jesus and the forgiveness he's earned for us. And Jesus says, I've already overcome the world. He said to his disciples in John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And through faith, Jesus dwells in your heart through his word, so that we, as Paul says, can become more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And again, Paul says, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So who is he who overcomes the world? John says it again. He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This passage certainly condemns all of those who think they can overcome and get to heaven without Christ. Who feel they can earn their own way to heaven by their prayers, by their church attendance, by their offerings, by something that they do. Or feel they can overcome the trials and problems of life by looking to themselves, by positive thinking, or by only going to doctors or psychiatrists or medication and drugs, only looking within themselves. The danger there is very real in the Word of God. Paul tells us in Colossians 2, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of this world, not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." The only way to everlasting life, the only way to salvation, is through Jesus. The only way to overcome the problems of life is through Jesus. Yes, doctors are important. Medication is important. Therapy is necessary. But don't let the world fool you into thinking that Christ and his word really can't help you with your emotional distress or depression or anxiety or marital problems or alcohol or all the other problems in this world. Without faith in the Son of God, there's no victory. Only defeat. Total failure. The Bible says we are nothing without Christ. But Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. But with Jesus living in our hearts, we are more than conquerors over sin, death, Satan, hell, and over the problems and trials and troubles of this life. Jesus is the one who's our strength. We fight our enemies with him and his word. And Jonathan, that leads us to our very important conclusion. We cannot continue to have victory in our lives without faith in Jesus Christ. And where does faith come from? Through faith in Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so this morning, we cannot ignore Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly," meaning abundantly, "in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Jonathan, this battle of your faith life is a daily one. And therefore, we need to have daily victories. Satan is not happy with what's happening here this morning. The Spirit leading you to confess your faith, soon to make promises to the Lord that you'll remain faithful to the triune God, to the Word, until death, to receive the crown of life. Satan is going to bombard you every day. Trials, troubles, temptations. You and we must fight that every day. So who's going to rule in our heart, in our mind, in our lives? Our old Adam, our sinful flesh, or the new man created in Christ Jesus? We need to constantly hear and read and study God's word. In Psalm 1, we're told that the person who consistently dwells and meditates on God's word is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in due season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. People overcome sin, death, Satan, hell, and the problems of life because they study and they read and they hear the word of God. And we study, read, and meditate on God's word. We're motivated by it, and we are more than conquerors. One commentator, who's also a Bible counselor, wrote these words. "Once during a series of meetings, dozens of people spoke to me about their problems and their difficulties in life. Each problem was different, but in each case, the first question I asked was, 'Have you taken proper time each morning to meditate alone in the Word of God?' In every case, the people admitted that they had not. That was the key to their difficulties. God will work for us, in us, and through us when we read His Word. Most of us will never find time to meditate on the Word until we take the time. And take the time we must. we want to prosper in the things of God. So Jonathan, our prayer for you this morning is, may all your battles in life be fought in and with Jesus and his word, with faith in the forgiving, loving Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that you will stand on judgment day, redeemed through Jesus Christ's shed blood, and victorious in your risen and conquering Savior. Amen. The peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.